We made some progress last week, I believe, when we began to look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I read it again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now two weeks ago when we started, we began to look at this book of the law. And we said that this book of the law is essentially the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, last week we noted that a lot of people confuse Old Testament, New Testament with Old Covenant, New Covenant. So we spoke about the covenants that God had entered into with us by proxy, of course. And we made it clear that if anything at all is to be discarded, it is certain provisions of the Old Covenant that deal with the issue of the sacrifices for sin and transgression. Why? Because Jesus has come and has paid them, so we don't need to do them again. But the laws, the Ten Commandments, the regulations, the health laws, the moral laws, the civil laws, they are still in force. The only difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant in terms of the fulfillment of those laws is that we are able to fulfill them when we come into Christ. Because once we are in Christ, the enablement to observe and to fulfill those laws have been given to us. The problem that the Old Covenant people had was that they thought that the laws of God could be fulfilled or accomplished in human effort. So that when God said, all that I ask you to do, you should do, they said, we will do it. And then when God now brought the new covenant, God made clear, said, no more will anybody teach his brother or his sister the law. I will put it in their hearts. I will give them the grace and enable them to fulfill it. And it is in Christ Jesus that is fulfilled. We mentioned six covenants. And we said, the first five dovetail into the last one. The Adamic covenant, what was the Adamic covenant? The seed of the woman shall come and bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent shall bite his heel. It was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Christ is the seed who came to bruise the head of Satan, and Satan beat his heel, thinking that he had killed him, that he arose on the third day. So that portion of that covenant accomplished. So that when women gave birth in those days and had to take a sacrifice because they had brought forth sin into the world, under the new covenant, we don't take a sacrifice to church because we have brought forth sin. No, we have brought forth life. Do you understand? The Noahic covenant was the covenant of the rainbow. And God's promise that he's never going to destroy the world again with that. Because in the mind of God, he was bringing the Savior. And so that covenant remained until the Savior came. Now the Savior has come, that covenant has been swallowed up. Do you understand that? By this new covenant is the final covenant that God is ever going to make. And then we talk about the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant seemed to be one covenant, but then it branched into two. It branched into a physical covenant and into a spiritual covenant. The physical covenant concerned Israel, the nation of Israel. And that was basically the promise of the land. I will give you this land, you will get to the land. The spiritual covenant is that you are coming into eternity, and I'm going to give you everything there. Now, that covenant was interrupted, let me put it that way, when Israel came out of Egypt and were struggling with, you know, obeying God. And God said, the way these people are going and the sin they are sinning, let's put in place a provision to deal with their sins, because they are stiff-necked people. And so God put in place a provision. That provision was the sacrifices. And because Christ has come, all those sacrifices have been taken away, because Christ has already come. But the laws, thou shalt not kill, remains in force. God did not take it away. Thou shalt have no other God beside me, was not taken away. Thou shalt not make any graven image, was not taken away. It's still there. So essentially what we concluded was that what was abrogated was essentially the Old Covenant. And the part of the sacrifices, every other part that has to do with the way and manner we should behave one with another, is still in force. For example, when they asked the Lord Jesus, said, what's the most significant thing of the law? And the Lord Jesus said, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with everything. And he said, the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two hangs what? The entire law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He is the first form. Everything to do with God is the first form. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Have no other God beside me. If you love God, you can't do that. You can't worship an idol. You can't. Your heart can't be anywhere. Then the others, honor thy father and thy mother, that shall be well with you in the land that you're going to possess. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. All those laws. That thou shalt love thy neighbor. As if you love your neighbor, will you go and take his maid servant? Will you go and covet his wife? Will you go and kill him? That is, so those two. So the Lord just reduced the Ten Commandments and all the laws around it to two laws. Which was why when he was leaving, he told his disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment. That you love one. You do that, you fulfill the law. So we don't go through the old covenant the way, we don't go through the laws the way they went through, no. By loving God and by loving our neighbors, we have fulfilled the whole law. But it is still the same thing. If we were to look at it one by one, that's exactly what we're doing. Then we talked about the Davidic covenant, the covenant that God made with David when God told him that you will not lack a descendant on the throne until Christ came. And that was what happened. After Christ came, it didn't matter who was prime minister or whatever, it doesn't matter. The king of Israel has come. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus came, before he went to the cross, the statement that Moses made when he was ratifying the covenant with the people, on the old covenant, he said, this is the blood of the old of this covenant which God has made with you. The Lord Jesus said this, when he was giving them, he said, this is the blood of the new, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is given to you for the remission of sin. So all those covenants swallowed up by the new covenant. The new covenant remains where it is. But when we talk of this book of the law, what are we talking about now? We're talking of the Testament. Old Testament and New Testament. We saw that the confusion came because the old King James, when they wrote it, they used the word Testament in place of covenant. They understood it to be that. But many people are becoming confused and are beginning to mislead people by saying that the Old Testament has been abrogated. What that should have read is the Old Covenant. And not the entire covenant. But the provisions that deal with the transgression of sin. I hope you understand that. Praise the name of the Lord. This morning we want to advance further by looking at two other areas. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. Very briefly, shall not is not an ordinary word. It is a very, very strong phrase. If you ask a lawyer, the lawyer will tell you that when you read the law and you read shall in the law, it tells you that it is not subject to your interpretation. It is not something that you can wriggle around. It is something that you must. That word shall is like saying must. So that's why it didn't say this book of the law may not. Because it said may not is neither here nor there. But it says shall not, which means must not depart from out of your mouth. In other words, we are looking at the absolute necessity of this book of the law not departing from out of your mouth if you are going to make your way prosperous and if you are going to have good success. It goes without saying, therefore, that on the basis of that phrase shall not and what follows, the significance, the importance of the word of God, of this book of the law, of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, of every portion of scripture for your prosperity, for your success. When we get to defining those other terms, we will not be able to put everything together and we'll come up with one thing. But it's significant to recognize that the word shall not is a strong word. It speaks of absolute necessity. It says you must not allow this word to depart from out of your mouth. If it departs out of your mouth, what does that mean? You cannot prosper and you cannot be successful. That's what the word of God says. And you're going to see that it's true. Now, what we want to do, which will take us about three or so Sundays, is to look at that phrase, depart from out of thy mouth. When the Bible says this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, what does it say? Is it saying that this book of the law should remain, you should eat it, you should keep it in your mouth? Is it saying that the word of God should be taken in, that is in the mouth, and ensured that it doesn't leave the mouth? That cannot be what it's saying. There's something else that it's saying. So we are going to search the scriptures. We'll see what is being meant, what is meant. And then we'll look at how to accomplish this task of making sure that this book of the law does not depart from out of our mouth. So let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to 37. I want to see if we can be as fast as possible today. Matthew chapter 12, from verse 33 to verse 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. So a good tree is only a good tree because it is producing good fruit. A bad tree is a bad tree only because it is producing what? Bad fruit. So the fruit tells us about the tree. We can't know whether a tree is good or bad until we see its fruit. Is that understood? Okay. We are going somewhere with that. Then verse 34. Brood of vipers. He's talking to the Pharisees here. How can you, being evil, speak good things? So do you see what he's doing now? He's tying the words they are speaking to themselves. So the Pharisees here are the tree, and their words is what? The fruit. So he's saying that by what you are saying, I can tell you that you are good or bad. How can you, brood of vipers, a poisonous snake that you are, you want to say you are giving something good? It's not possible. The only thing that can come out of a poisonous snake is what? Poison. Do you understand? A poisonous snake can only bring death. That's all it can bring. So you don't bring a poisonous snake, oh, this snake is wonderful. This snake will give you life. It is going to give you death. For out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So when the Lord is saying, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, what is he saying? Because your mouth is speaking what? What is inside the heart. So what is he really saying? He said this book of the law must be in your heart. Do you understand? Because what is in your heart that your mouth is saying? So when he said that this book of law must not depart out of your mouth, he said this book of law must not depart from within you. It must be inside you. It must be stored inside you. And it is what is in you that is coming out. We are going somewhere with this argument still. Let's continue to read. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Where is the good man bringing forth good things from now? From the treasure. The heart is his treasure. It's his treasury. It's his storehouse. Now, let me make it clearer for us. The heart that we are discussing is not this one that is pumping blood. Do you understand? The heart we are discussing is the spirit man. Man is made up of three things. The physical body, which we see. The soul, or the mind. And the spirit, what the Bible calls the heart. The Bible calls, uses the word heart because it is telling us that the spirit is the center of this entire thing. It is the source. So that's why he uses the word heart. The word heart means source, center, origin, the focal point. Do you understand? If somebody comes to say, this is what is the heart of the matter? What is your central thing? What is the most important thing you are discussing? What is the key issue? That's what it means here. So the heart is your spirit man. It's not talking of this one that's pumping blood. It's not talking of your soul. But it's speaking about what is deep inside of you. So a good man is able to bring out good things from what is inside, the deep thing inside of him, which is his storehouse, his treasury. His treasury is good, so he can bring good things out. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. You see that both of them have treasures in their heart. Is that not so? And it is what is in their heart that they bring. A good man does not bring evil things. An evil man cannot bring good things because what is inside his heart is what is bringing out. And the only reason on which we know that this man is good or this man is evil is because of what is coming out from his heart. In verse 36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Every word that we speak is the result of what is happening within our hearts. No man, there's nothing like an idle word in reality. And the word idle could mean careless. Something that you didn't think of, you just said it. It's because it's from the heart that we're going to see why it is going to be judged. Because my words will say, but we didn't know now, we didn't understand it. You will see why. Verse 37. For by your words you will be justified. And by your work, by your words, you will be condemned. There are people who will go to hell because of the words they spoke from. There are people who will walk into eternity with God because of what came out. This book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth. And we have said that if the mouth does not speak of its own, how does the mouth speak? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So the mouth can only speak from the abundance of what has been stored in the heart. Another word for that word abundance is overflow. I want you to know these words. Abundance is an overflow. And if you go to Psalm 45 verse 1, Psalm 45 verse 1 says, my heart is indicting a good matter. My heart is indicting a good matter. Is there somebody with another translation of the Bible? Another translation that can give us some before I go to the meat of that word indicting. Let's see how indicting is used. Just that sentence about my heart is indicting a good matter. Okay, beautiful words fill my mind. Fill is the word he uses there. Is there another translation? Which one do you have? New, okay, read it. My heart is stirred by a noble theme. My heart is stirred by a noble theme. What's this one? It says, my heart is moved. Now, that word indict, let me give you. That word indicting is speaking of a word called boil. It says, my heart boils. My heart is bubbling up. My heart is gushing. My heart is full and overflowing with a good matter. The reason why I am breaking this down for us is to let you know that the mouth speaks because the heart is bubbling. Do you understand? The heart is boiling. What is inside, it is boiling to bring it out. And the only passageway by which that thing can come out is by the mouth. Whatever is stored inside your spirit man bubbles, it boils, it soon manifests. The Yorubas have been saying, they say, no matter how you cover smoke, something, it will always find a way out. And it says that a man's character is like smoke. So that no matter how much the man tries to cover it, one day you will see his true character. It is because the heart is boiling. The heart always wants to say something, always want to bubble, to say something. Which is why self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit of God that controls the heart from bubbling like that. But a man is not controlled by the Spirit of God. Just he speaks. So you see people who prophesy. It's sometimes when you're speaking, especially when you're speaking in tongues, you know, it's uncontrollable. Because it's come from the heart. It's bubbling. And you want to speak. The heart or the spirit is the storehouse or treasury of man. That's where we store things. The good things, the bad things, they are stored there. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, Matthew 6, 19 to 21, the Bible says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. The thing that you treasure the most, your heart is there. The thing that you treasure the most is in your heart. Do you understand? It's inside your spirit man. And it will bubble to the surface. So this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Is what is bubbling inside you, it will come out. And that thing should be what now? The word of God. This book of the law is what should be inside your heart. The heart can be good or evil. A good heart, unfortunately, can become evil. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, what does it say? He said, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. If you are communicating, if you are in relationship with somebody who has an evil nature, an evil character, an evil disposition, it's just a matter of time before he infests you and infects you with that nature. I think somewhere in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, do not make friends with an angry man, lest you learn his ways. A good man can easily be infected through evil communication. So you need to be very careful. We're going to look at the scripture that says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. So you need to be careful what is entering into your spirit, because it is what is going to come out eventually. The Bible says that even a fool, when he is quiet, is considered wise. You know why? He hasn't said anything. He said, this man is wise. Because the moment he opens his mouth, you now know he's a fool. A fool is known by his words, more than by any other. That's why if you're a Christian, you should not be hasty. And when you're going to speak, make sure your words are seasoned with salt. Make sure your words are in line with the word of God. Make sure your words are words that bring glory to the name of Christ. Similarly, an evil heart can be made good. In John chapter 15, verse 3, let's just read that one. John chapter 15, verse 3. When the Lord was speaking about the vine and fruit bearing, and he was speaking to them about what they need to do so that they can bear fruit. In verse 3 it says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Your evil heart has been turned to a clean heart because of the word that I spoke to you. So as the Lord is speaking his word, and we are hearing with the ear, where is it entering into now? It's going into the heart. It's going into the heart. So that a good heart can be made bad. A bad heart can be made good. Because the Lord said, make the tree good and its fruit will be good. Make the tree evil and its fruit will be evil. So the decision on how our heart should be is dependent on us. Is that not so? Okay. Now in Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11. I'm trying to lay the foundation for a more serious discussion that we shall be holding next Sunday and possibly the Sunday after that. And maybe another Sunday after that one, I don't know. But I'm sure we should be able to do it in three Sundays. Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11. Verse 9 and verse 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. A young man can keep his way clean. You know, the hormones in young men, the hormones in youth, young men and young women, can be very, very strong and can misdirect them. That's why teenagers, you find teenagers the most vulnerable. They get into all manner of things. Even when I was a teenager, there were some things that I did that I thought was all right, was normal. But having grown up, I see that that was the most foolish thing that I could ever have done. You find in nations, like in America, you see teenagers are carrying guns and shooting people. And when you ask them, why did you do this? They say, oh, we wanted to see how it feels to kill somebody. For some stupid reason, they just do some things. So how can a young man, how can a teenager keep himself clean from doing such things? He says, by taking heed to thy word. Now, verse 11 gives us understanding of that portion. He says, your word I have hidden where? In my heart, that I might not sin against. What did he do to the word? He hid it. Why did he use the word hid? Because it's a treasure house. It's a storehouse. You hide what you cherish inside a treasury, inside a storehouse. You don't keep it carelessly. And remember I said that what happens in the heart? It bubbles. It bubbles. So when he has hidden the word of God inside his heart and he wants to do evil, what will happen to the word of God inside his heart? It will be bubbling. Don't do it. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. According to the word of God, such and such and such, what you should be doing. Do you understand? That thing speaks. It continues to bubble. And sometimes you find yourself saying it. But this is not the right thing to do. Thus says the Lord, you should do this, you should do this. Now, the devil can now come and speak to you again and tell you not to do it. If you listen to him, what is now happening is that you're not going to have a problem inside of you. There's going to be a quarrel taking place. There's a contamination. The heart is now being injected with poison. So accepting what the devil is saying is to allow that battle to take place in you. And remember, evil communication corrupts good. It can overtake. Before you know what's happening, you are agreeing with the devil against the word of God. When you lay up or store the word of God in your heart or your spirit, it begins to do its work. Once you lay there, it will do all the work that it's supposed to do. It will bring to remembrance the things that have been said. So this is what has been said. Thus says the Lord. You see a situation, thus says the Lord. The word comes out. Because it is where? It is taught. You're not looking for a Bible. That's why God said, under the new covenant, I will put my words where? In their hearts. They will not need anybody to tell them. The word will be in their heart and you will be boiling, bubbling out. No sooner than you give your life to Christ. You notice that the first time you began to speak in tongues, it was as if everything in your body was shaking. Because it was coming from your spirit. It bubbled forth what was inside the spirit. And you spoke forth as you were given utterance. By who now? The Spirit of God, who had connected with your spirit. In Luke chapter 2, verse 18 to 19. Even though this one we are jumping ahead of ourselves, but let's just say it all the same. We might look at it by the time we get to the issue of meditating on the word of God. But let's just look at that. Luke chapter 2. When the Lord Jesus was born, all manner of things were said. Angels went to meet shepherds who were watching their flock by night and told them the things that had happened. The shepherds went and saw and they began to make statements. And all kinds of things were said. All manner of things were being said about the Lord Jesus as a baby. Luke chapter 2, 18 and 19. Luke chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But what did Mary do? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her. She stored them in her heart. She stored those things in her heart. As they were saying it, she was just taking it in, keeping it in. Let's go to verse 49. That's in Luke chapter 2, 49 to 51. This was where they left Jesus at the temple and had gone home and were on the way before they realized that that he wasn't there, so they went back to the temple. Let's go from 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Now, he's 12 years old. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" That is a young 12-year-old boy, excited by what is inside his spirit, speaking forth. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, that's his parents. But his mother kept all these things in her. His mother stored all these things in her heart. Is it any wonder that when you go to John chapter 2, let's go there. I want to link all of this together. John chapter 2 from verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus' disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And we know the rest of the story. That whatever the Lord Jesus told them to do, what happened? They did it. How did Mary come? Because the Bible tells us by the end of it that this was the first miracle that Jesus did. He had never done any miracle before anywhere. This was the first one. How did Mary come about saying, "Whatever he says, you do it"? What happened? All those things that she has stored in her heart said, this boy is not an ordinary fellow. We know what we had heard about him from the time he was born. When he was 12, when he was 2, when he was 3. Don't forget the mega he came when he was 2 to give him gifts. They must have said some things. She stored them in her heart. At 12, when he said that thing in the temple, she stored it in her heart. Well, he was doing carpenter work, learning from his surrogate father, and was making some statements. She stored them. Maybe some preachers will come, some prophets will come, some holy men of God will come. They will look at him and say, "This is the Lamb of God which will take away the sins of the world." She will store it. She never allowed it to leave her. So on that day, when they had a problem, and she went to him, of course, you know that he didn't say, "I'm going to do anything." She went to say, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And you can imagine the silly instructions he gave them. He said, "We're looking for wine." He said, go and fill those things with water." They listened to what Mary said. "Whatever he says to you, do it." They went and did it. It's okay. Draw now. Go and give to the master of ceremony. They didn't say, "Aga," they will slap my face. They drew and took to the master of ceremony. It was when the master of ceremony drank, they would say, "Where did you get this kind of wine from? This is the best wine I've ever tasted." On the seventh day of a wedding, when wine should have been fermenting, you are bringing fresh wine. The Bible says nobody knew where that wine came from except the servant. But what was the source of all of this? What Mary had stored in her heart. So what we're saying is that when you store the word of God in your heart, it will begin to do the work it is supposed to do in you. It brings to your remembrance at the appropriate time the things that God has spoken to you. They will bubble forth. It cleanses and purges you inside. It does the work of cleansing and purging. The word of God will come and begin to purge everything that shouldn't be there. It pushes it out. It makes you to abhor sin, to hate sin. Once the word of God is stored inside of you, you will hate sin. Hatred of sin doesn't happen because you say, "I hate sin." No. Let the word of God dwell in you richly by the Spirit of God. You will see sin. You will say, "You mean I've been following this nonsense?" You will hate it as you ought to hate it. And when the word of God is in you, it will cause you to heed, to listen, to obey its provisions. The reason why many of us, so-called believers, are able to disobey God, to disobey the word of God, is because the word of God is not stored in us. We go to church, we listen to messages, but we don't give it room to be stored inside. We're going somewhere with this. Because I may introduce that subject today, or maybe next week. We'll look at it next week. Let's reserve it for next week. But when you take the word of God inside of you, There are actions that it takes. There are things that it does in you. It begins to transform your life. I don't know if you've noticed, I'll explain it more next week, but let me just give you, I don't know if you've watched films where you see people going into a radioactive lab. When they go into a radioactive lab, what do? They wear a suit that covers every part of the body so that radioactivity doesn't touch them at all. And when they're inside that environment, even though it is radioactive, they are not affected because they are wearing a suit. Do you understand? Now, if they were to remove that suit, what will happen? The radioactive material will attack their bodies and will soon change their bodies, and they themselves will become radioactive. They can only be kept where radioactivity is taken. They cannot be allowed to be released into human society. My brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be radioactive. We are supposed to be infected by the word of God. Next week we will see that we are all wearing suits that keep the word of God from entering in to do its work. That suit must be. Otherwise, this book of the law is not going to prosper us. That's why many Christians are looking for prosperity outside of this book of the law. They are looking for prosperity in management books, looking for prosperity in books written by scientists, social scientists, behavioral scientists, sociologists, and so on and so forth. Whereas the true way of prosperity, I'm not talking of financial prosperity, I mean true prosperity is from this. But we are wearing a suit. That will be the subject for next event. I've gone ahead of us, but let's just continue with the introduction that we're going to. Don't forget, what we're discussing is, this book of God cannot depart from out of thy mouth. And we noted from the word of God that the mouth cannot just speak on its own. It is out of the abundance of the heart that it speaks. And it speaks out of the overflow. And it speaks out of the overflow because the heart is always bubbling, boiling to say so, boiling to release what is inside it. So if you store something in there, it's just a matter of time, it will bubble out. Your nature is going to bubble out. When things are really tight, who you are, you will see. I always tell people there's no need to be getting excited. Oh, this person is fantastic. Be around that person for 1 week. Continually, you will know who he is. His nature will bubble out. He will say something that will reveal his true nature. It's a good advice to young ladies and young men who want to get married. Just stay around that lady, around that man for 1 or 2 weeks. Don't get carried away by I want to marry. You will see the nature. It's just that the only problem is that many of us are too blinded by love. We don't see it until it's too late. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it, it says, for out of it are the issues of life. One translation says, spring from it, spring. Remember the word we used? It boils, it bubbles. So from it spring the issues of life. They bubble forth. Bubble forth. So it says, make sure you guard your heart. Watch over it carefully. What basically says, be careful what goes in there. Because out of it is going to bubble out. So keep your heart. Don't let your heart wander into areas that it has no business wandering. Have you noticed that if you spend time watching some movies, after a while you start dreaming about things in that connection. Out of your heart, the issues that you have been taking in, they are bubbling forth. Those of us who like watching football, very soon you will begin dreaming about football in everything. The day they beat your team, you will be upset in your dream. The day your team wins, suddenly you have won lottery in your dream. Because out of it, which you have taken the issues, they are springing. Matthew chapter 15, we are talking of guarding the heart, keeping the heart, watching over it, making sure that the heart, whatever it is releasing, is going to be something that is beneficial, that is a blessing. If you don't keep it, you will run into trouble. If you don't guard what is going in, a problem will arise. Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. It says, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Let's pause there. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles the man, but what comes out of the mouth. Now, what comes out of the mouth? Out of the abundance of the... So you need to keep that heart. Otherwise, the things... If things that defile enter the heart, what will come out of the mouth? Things that defile. If things that cleanse enter into the heart, what will come out of the mouth? Things that cleanse. So keep your heart. And it says, with all diligence. With all, what does it mean to say you are keeping something with all diligence? What does that mean? Watchfulness, what else can we use? Is there a translation here of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23? Let's see what other words are used. The diligence talks about the severity with which you watch over it. The caution, the care, the fervency, the way you handle something. Not like a lackadaisically, but diligently. I'm waiting. Is there a translation that NLT, what does it say?
Above all else.
Above all else. So if you are going to work with diligence, what is it saying there now? It should be the way you are going to, as if you are guarding, thank you, everything in life. Yes, read your own. What translation is that? Yes, okay, read it.
Keep your heart with all vigilance.
Okay. With all vigilance. Watchfulness. You know the language you use for people who watch the street that you didn't employ. What do we call them? Vigilante. Because he wasn't employed. He left his own house to come out. He is a vigilant man. He could have been sleeping like us. But he came out onto the street to watch. He's a vigilant man. A vigilante. That's what he's saying. With all diligence. Is that that translation? Goodness, what does it say? Okay, be careful is the word he's using. No, that's NIV.
Above all else.
It says above all else. The same thing. So, with diligence is how you should keep it. So that you are careful. You know, when you are watching something with diligence, have you seen weight watchers? People who are watching their weight. They are careful what they eat. If you bring something, you bring cake, so no, it's low calories cake. They'll start asking you questions. Did you make it? You say, what and what did you put inside? You know why? Because they know the calories for everything you are putting there. So they don't take your word, say low calories, so they eat it. No way. If you see people who say that they are vegetarian, and you bring something that you think is better, they would ask you, how did you make it? Did you make it at home? Did you use gelatin? You say, yes, it's not vegetarian. That's what we mean by guarding with diligence. Somebody brings a message to you and says, this is the word of God. Before you admit it, what do you do? You strip it down like that with water. Where is this word coming from? Does it agree with the word of God? Before you absorb it, you strip it down. There's a story in the Bible, in Mark chapter 5, I think it is, when Jairus came to call the Lord Jesus and told him to come and heal his daughter. You remember that story? And then they came to, after, because of the woman with the issue of blood, they came and there was that interruption, and they came to say, oh, Jairus, don't disturb the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. The Bible says, immediately, instantly, the Lord turned to Jairus. Be not afraid, only believe. What was he trying to do there? Don't admit what they have told you into your heart. Because if you admit it, it is going to cause discouragement to you, to bubble out. That is dead. That is dead. Don't say, don't enter panic mode. Don't fret. Just believe it shall be all right. Keep your heart out of it and the issues. A wise man says, when you want a fool to declare your thoughts, you say your thoughts where the fool is. He will go out and speak it out. Then they will beat the fool. Meanwhile, you that you said it, you are resting in your house. That's what is happening in politics today. Fools are saying what people are saying inside their bedroom. They are the ones making the noise and they are the ones that are beating. Keep your heart with all diligence, because issues of life come out from it. Now let's go to, we're still reading Matthew chapter 15, right? 11, verse 11 tells us that it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles, it's what comes out of the mouth, which is coming from the heart. Now let's go to verse 17. 17 to 20 of Matthew chapter 15. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? What is entering the mouth is going through a physical procedure. Do you understand? It doesn't touch the spirit. That's what the Lord is saying. The food you are eating, it doesn't touch it. It affects only the physical body. It doesn't affect the spirit. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they defile a man. They defile a man because of the state of the heart of that man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. These are the things that defile a man. Be careful what is entering into your heart, because like we say, they form your thoughts. They're the things that you begin to think about.
Very soon you find expression in
the mouth.
Some women, they will see you, as among women, they will see a young married woman doing my husband, say, oh, so you too, you have started. We did this 15 years ago, it didn't benefit us. And doing my husband, your life will soon change. Maybe that day, your husband will say something. Say, this is what they were saying. You know what has happened?
You swallowed what those women said.
You didn't keep your heart.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I just want to talk about that little portion. Who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly.
A young lady was about to get married to a young man, and she went to visit the young man, did some cooking, did some washing, some cleaning the house, and she kept telling the young man around 5-6, I need to go home, come and take me home. The young man would look for an excuse, delay, 7:30, So the girl said, well, whatever, I am going home. As she was walking away from the house, the guy grabbed his shirt and followed her. As they were leaving the compound, they saw another lady who happened to be a deaconess in their church. So the young man was telling the deaconess that, look at this lady, I don't know what's wrong with her. I'm telling her that she should wait, let's even know ourselves better, and this and she's. The deaconess now told this young lady that my husband, who is the pastor, before we got married, we met. It was nothing. I mean, we're going to get married, so what are we keeping ourselves from?
The girl said, when she heard it, she made up her mind that in fact, that was when she was more resolute, that whatever is going to happen, I'm leaving this place today.
You know what she did? She had kept her heart with all diligence. If she wasn't diligent, she would have looked at the position of the lady in the church, a deaconess, and would have accepted her word as the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying here now? So when we say, keep your heart with all diligence, we are saying, make sure you vet what is coming into that, because out of it are the issues. Next week, we're going to talk a little more on the heart itself. We're going to look at the way the heart is configured, how the heart starts. The heart of man, because of the sin of Adam, every man that is born, what kind of heart does he come out with? A sinful heart. So when the Lord said, make the tree good and its fruit will be good, what was he referring to?
Make that original heart good. It will be good. It can be made good.
By the time we discuss deeper, you will begin to see. I don't want to rush it. You will begin to see why we behave the way we behave towards the word of God. Why it is easy for someone, for example, the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, let's go to hospital. And for somebody else, the first thing that comes to his mouth is, let's pray on the same matter. Why the first thing that comes to somebody's mouth is, how can we swindle this fellow? The first thing that comes to another man's mouth is, how can we help this fellow? It's the heart. It's critical. Out of it are the issues of it. So when the Lord said, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, he was basically saying, this book of the law must keep it. Next week, we'll discuss the fact that the book of the law cannot just be kept in the original heart without something happening to that heart. Otherwise, you're going to have a contaminated thing. So there are many people whose hearts have not yet been dealt. They have stuffed the book of the law, forced it in there, thinking that the book of the law will come and do something which they don't want it to do. And then you now have a heart. The Bible says, we shall look at it also next week. In James chapter 3, verse 8, James 3, 12 or something. It says, can you imagine out of the same tongue, the same mouth, we bless and we curse. What is happening there is a heart that has too many things inside. One time is blessing, the next time is cursing. He says, God bless you now, the next minute. Are you a fool? You stupid. Slapping. But this morning, I want to leave you with these thoughts, because we want to pray. What is coming out of your mouth? What are the utterances? What are the words that you utter out of daily basis? What is the state of your heart? Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You cannot divorce. You know, if I tell you to speak now, you speak through words. But you know what you say when nobody's watching. At least when you think nobody's watching. You know the things that come out of your mouth when you are rattled. It speaks about the state of your heart. So let's say you want to tell me to the pastor, and there's no way I can know the state of my heart. That's why I ask, what is coming out of your daily basis? It's a pointer to the state of your heart. What is inside your heart? Because it is what is inside your heart that you are saying. It's what is inside your heart that is forming your thoughts. Does your heart have the word of God filling it? Let us pray. Time for you to think about it. To brood, as it were, over the little that has been said this morning. What comes out of your mouth? I heard the story of a mischievous boy who went to church and he grabbed a rotten egg and pelleted an elder sitting at the altar. Oh, when the elder smelled the rotten egg, he began to curse.
And the young boy was enjoying it, enjoying what was happening. And then he grabbed another egg and pelleted another elder. And the elder jumped up and began to praise God. And the elder who was cursing turned to the elder who was praising and said, "How can you do such a thing under this condition?" The man said, "It is what is in my heart that I'm saying. It is not what they did to you that is making you to say it. It is what is in your heart that made you say what you said." They could have done the same thing. If your heart was filled with the word of God, you would say it differently. What is the state of your heart, brother? What is coming out of your mouth? Are you saying the things you are saying because it is what is in your heart? Or are you saying, are you claiming that you are saying what you are saying because people did this to me? Even when they do something to you, what is in your heart is what you will say. They spat on the Lord. They slapped him. They kicked him. They nailed him to the cross. What came out of his mouth? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What is in your heart? Brethren, we need to talk to God tonight and this morning. We need to uproot. There are some things that we need to uproot from our hearts. We need to talk about a change. Make the tree good. Its fruit will be good. If your heart can be turned by the Lord, your words will be words that are gracious. I want you to talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to the Lord this morning. Concerning what is happening in you. Why do you say the things you say? It's not because somebody annoyed you. It's not because they did this to you. It's because of what is inside your heart. You need to uproot. You need to uproot that heart.
Into my heart. Into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus. Come in to stay. Come in today. Come in to my heart. Lord Jesus.
Brethren, let's talk to the Lord. Oh, we need to change what is coming out of our mouth. We need to change what is in the heart. Brethren, what is inside your heart? What is in your heart? Out of the heart comes murder. Out of the heart comes adultery, comes fornication. Out of the heart comes slander. Out of the heart comes false witness. What is in your heart? What is the state of your heart? Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord this morning. Just tell him, "Lord, indeed, this is who I am." Isaiah met with the Lord one day. And the moment he saw the Lord, what was in his heart began to bubble out. He said, "Oh, I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell with the people of unclean lips." Oh, and because he confessed what was in his heart, help came from heaven. Hot coal was put on his lips. And he said, "Now this has touched you. You are now cleansed." Brethren, we need that cleansing touch from the Lord. We need the Lord to touch us this morning. Oh, we need that touch that is permanent. So that our mouth will change. What is coming out of our mouth will change. We need heaven to touch us this morning. With the coal of fire from the temple in heaven. To change us completely. To transform us completely. Make the tree good. Its fruit will be good. Talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to the Lord this morning. Oh, touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Touch me one more time. Oh Lord, touch me one more time. Oh Lord, I need a touch from the Master. I need a touch from you, Lord. Touch me one more time. Jesus. Brethren, talk to the Lord this morning. Talk to the Lord this morning. "Father, come and touch my heart. Come and touch my heart, Lord. Every word that is not from you, come and remove it from my heart. Oh, makatalika rosondoreke makataya rekeke. Brakakalika mandeleke brosokotoleke. Rikandaleke makataya reke brosokondorekeke. Rekendeleke makataya rika brosokotoleke. Rekakakaka makatalika brokondoleke. Rekekekeke masakataya rekeke. Brokondolika makotorekeke brogodoleke. Rekekekeke makatalika brosokondoleke. Oh, brethren, this morning we need to resolve this matter. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. What have you permitted into your heart? What is the state of your heart? What is been coming out of your mouth? Makatalika grosso kondo rekekeke. Regelelege magadaya rekekekeke makataya reke. Oh Lord, we need a touch. We need a touch. We need your help, Almighty God. Makatalika brokondo rekekekeke. Lord, go to the source. Go to the source. The real source, the spring where life comes forth. And touch it. Touch the source, Lord. Touch the source, Lord. Makatalika brokondo rekekeke. Brogodolege magadaya rekekeke. Masakatalika brakanda rekekeke. Makatayarika brokondo rekekeke. Makatarika brokondo rekekeke. Makatayarekekekekekeke. Masakandarika brokondo rekekeke. Makatayarekekekekeke. Makatayarekekeke. Makandarekekekekeke. Makandarekekekekekeke. Masokondorekekekekeke. Masakandayarekekekekeke. Makandarekekeke. Makandayarekekekekeke. Makanda yareke keke keke, masakanda reke brogondo reke keke. Oh, makata yareke keke keke, brogondo reke keke keke keke, masakanda yareke keke, masakanda yareke keke, makanda yareke keke, masakanda yareke keke, masakanda yareke keke, masakanda reke keke, makondo reke keke keke, maganda yareke keke, brosokondo reke keke, masakanda reke keke keke. Masakanda yareke keke keke. Makanda reke keke masakanda yareke keke. Mazakanda yareke keke keke. Masakanda yareke keke. Mazakanda yareke keke. Makanda yareke keke makatalika brokondoreke. Makata yareke keke brakatalika magondoreke. Reke keke makata yareke keke. Brethren, we need to address the source of the matter. The source of the matter is what is happening in our hearts. Let's talk to God this morning. Let's talk to God this morning. Let's talk to God this morning. Makatalika brokondoleke. What has been coming out of your mouth is the result of what has been or what is in your heart. And it doesn't matter how you try to hide it. One day, when you are provoked, it will come out. It will come out. But if what is in your heart is through and through peaceable, even when you are provoked, all that can come out of your mouth is peaceable things. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Tell the Lord, say, Father, the way you touch the lips of Isaiah, Father, touch me. Father, touch me. And remove every defilement from my life. Touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Makatalika brosso kondoreke. Regelelege magadaya rika kamakotoreke. Brosso kondoreke keke makataya reke. How can our way be prosperous when our heart does not have that kind of prosperity? When our heart does not enjoy that kind of prosperity? How can we be prosperous? How can our way be prosperous when the very heart that is going to move us does not enjoy that prosperity? Talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. All that can come forth out of the mouth of a criminal is to look for how to make that money, and he will say it is prosperity. It is not prosperity. It is fraud. Makotolika brokondore keke makataya reke. Oh, blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Talk to the Lord, brethren. Talk to the Lord, brethren. Oh, except you like what you are saying, that's okay.
But if you know that the words that have been coming out of my mouth, they are caustic, they are hurting, they cause wounds into other people's lives. They kill people. They cause people to commit adultery, to commit fornication. What is coming out of my mouth is equivalent to bearing false witness. Then you will talk to God this morning. And you say, Lord, not my mouth, but my heart needs to be touched. 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 I need to receive your transforming power in my heart today. I need to receive the transforming power of your touch over my heart today. Makatalika dosokundureke. Makandalika bragadalike makatayarikeke masakatalika brokondureke. Rikandalika magudurikeke brakatalike masakatayarike. Oh, Father, help me. Father, help us. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help us all. Help us all, Lord. Blessed be your name, Almighty and Everlasting God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. What we have done here is just a beginning. You go home, you begin to talk to God between now and when we meet next Sunday. Say, Father, touch my heart. Whatever is not pleasing to you there, come and remove it completely. We must begin to witness transformation. We must begin to speak gracious words. Words seasoned with salt. Words that represent the God we serve. It shall be well with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.